Well, again, we need the Lord, and we want to champion our Lord today. He is truly great. He is the reason. It's kind of a bit of a trite statement anymore that says that he is the reason for the season. Yeah, I don't like just saying it quite like that, but he is a reason for the season. And I thank the Lord this morning for his great love that he has showed us. I was listening to the children say your Bible verses today. And I was thinking of how they spend time trying to learn their Bible verses, and they don't always say it exactly correctly, but I love the willingness that you children have said your Bible verses and the exuberance that you put into it sometimes. And I want I listen to you and I take joy listening to you say your Bible verses. And I want you young children to go ahead, just keep on sharing those verses that your parents teach you. I think this morning about Jonah. And part of what I want us to think about, and as we think about the book of Jonah, I would write it on the board, but I'm going to maybe let you think about it this morning. I take this verse, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. That was mentioned with a backdrop of there in Hebrews, where the writer there was talking about the Jews who had been a natural part of the olive tree. They were the natural born. That lineage was there in line to be part of the lineage of Christ, some of the blessings that came through Christ. And not all believed, though. And it was mentioned there in Hebrews that some of those that didn't believe, they were broken off because of unbelief. They didn't receive what the Lord had for them because of their unbelief. And that also because when the Jews in general rejected Christ and he was hung on the cross, there was an opening then. Again, that blessing was not just to a particular set of people, but that all the world would be blessed. There was a proclamation that went to all peoples. And that took me in today, because I can't claim any natural Jewish blood in my body, but by the blood of Jesus Christ today, I am a son of the Father. By the blood that I have entered in. And so therefore, I would want us to recognize both the blessing, both the goodness and the severity of God. It goes on in that verse and talks about those who didn't receive that, who didn't believe, there would be a cutting off. So that's the severity. But the goodness is that whosoever will, let him come and partake of this water of life freely. And so today, that's still a good news. As we look into the book of Job, and I'm going to have to turn to it. Not Job. Jonah. Sorry I said it that way. Why am I not finding Jonah? Jonah? Micah? Yes. Well, I'm here in Micah. I maybe just passed over it. It's a small book. It's here still. Brother Carl used to say, if you get the right place, you find it. It'll read right. Okay. Here in Jonah, I want, again, to think of the greatness of our Lord, His mercy, His goodness, plus His severity. Now, Jonah was a prophet that the Lord had given a job to do. Part of his job was to go to the people of Nineveh and to deliver a message. And that message that he was intended to give to them was a pretty harsh message, wasn't it? It said that the Lord's going to come and destroy this place. Nineveh, this happened in the, I think around, what was it? 600 and, or was it 700 and some BC? Was it 750? I'm thinking. What'd you say? 862 or so? BC. Nineveh had been a prominent city. It's a very old city. It's got a lot of history there. And they had come, as cities generally do, they grow and collect people. And what normally happens in cities, people, prominent ideas will build within that city. And within this city of Nineveh, there was a general disregard of God, a self-assurance that they had, their strength and their ability, and there was a rejection of God, and evil began to build in that city. It seems like it still happens, doesn't it? You go down here to Oklahoma City, you're going to find a lot of prominence of evil. Doesn't mean cities necessarily are inherently evil, but it seems like it kind of gravitates that way. And Nineveh had gravitated toward evil. They were cruel people. They took people that they'd captured and treated them very harshly and meanly. And when they'd killed them, tortured them to death, they built sometimes pyramids out of their skulls. This was the type of people this was. They weren't kind people. They also weren't Jews. They weren't of that lineage. So why does God care? Why did God care? Weren't the Jews the chosen people? Did He not care? And God, did God only care for the Jews? And the rest, He just kind of, whatever you do. That's not how God sees people. I want to tell you that. The Jews were particularly chosen for the avenue through which God would bring His salvation and make it available to mankind, but to all people, not just the Jewish nation. So here we find a group of people that God saw the wickedness and saw what was happening. The wickedness arose before the Lord, much as what the same way that Sodom and Gomorrah, the wickedness rose up as a cry before the Lord. The Lord doesn't like wickedness. It's not just because or not people aren't obeying Him. It's because of the damage that it does to humans. Amen. Wickedness is a terrible thing. Amen. It has horrible consequences. Amen. Nineveh was in this place. And I would like to... I'd like to read here this morning some points that I want to pick up here in the first chapter of Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Anyway, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." So God cared enough about these people in Nineveh. I think He was angry with the sin and the wickedness that they did, but He wanted them to know. Look, behold now the goodness of the Lord. Recognize what God is doing here to these wicked people. He's telling them. He didn't have to tell them, did He not? He could have kept it a secret from them and just came upon them as a thief in the night and destroyed them. But He didn't. Now we know, I'm going to take a little moment right now to look at the fact of something else that God has told us in history. He said there will be a day that He'll come and all the elements of this world we live in now will be destroyed. He said it'll melt He said, it'll flow. All this will be burned. He's told us that already. He doesn't need to come and tell us again. But many times, he does allow us to remember. And he calls some many times his ministers to remind the generations that we live in that we're going to meet God. He does that not out of meanness, just to spread fear, but out of an understanding that we're going to meet God. That's a kindness. Behold the goodness of our Lord. So Nineveh was in this case, so they had disregarded the Lord or taken their own way. And the Lord came to Jonah and said, I want you to go down to Nineveh. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. I recognize there's a great wickedness here. This is something that the Lord doesn't pass over. He doesn't act like it doesn't happen when wickedness. He knows what's going on in people's lives. It's not something that he okays. We will be held accountable for the deeds that we've done. We'll have to give an account of those things. And so that causes me, because the Lord lets us know that, it causes me to have a certain trembling in my soul. I don't go through life with a cavalier attitude thinking that whatever happens is just going to happen. I'm just going to enjoy myself. No, there's a reason why that the Lord says don't do some of these things. And it's not to take away the fullness and joy of our life. It's that our joy might be more full. That we won't have to suffer the sting of and the regret of doing things that are evil. So the Lord in His mercy came and told Jonah to go down to this country, this town, this large town, where so many people were there that had been doing evil, and he said, Jonah, go down there and tell them that the wickedness has come up before me. It's a great wickedness. And in the 17th verse of the first chapter now of Jonah, let's pick up another point here. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish. Now you children probably can fill in the blanks between the first part of this chapter and the last part. What happened when Jonah was told to go down and deliver this message to the Ninevites that the Lord's going to destroy this place? Did Jonah say, Amen, Lord, I'm headed that way right now? You children can probably tell me that Jonah says, I don't want to go down there. And I'm just in my mind, I can think of a number of reasons why. One, they are cruel people. They're an evil people. And number three, they're not Jews. Why should me, being a Jew, care about Nineveh? Well, I'll tell you what, the Lord cares about everybody. He did then and he still does today. All souls are mine, Jesus proclaims. All souls. And that has never changed. The Lord is interested in everybody today. So when Jonah got the message to go down there, he wasn't eager to go. In fact, he decided, I'm going to go a different direction. So as he's traveled the other direction, you know how the Lord cornered him again. Brought a big storm. The ship couldn't go further. They tried very hard. They were in fear of their lives. They unburdened the ship. They were throwing everything overboard just to try to survive. And finally, they said, we got to find what the problem is here. And they started looking toward the Lord and said, and they started, as their manner was, and the Lord guided, worked in the manner that they used, they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said, tell us what has happened. Why? Jonah said, it's me. I'm the one. I'm guilty. I'm running from the Lord. He gave me a job to do, and I'm going the other direction. And they said, oh, friend, we don't want to throw you over. Let's work a little harder. We're going to try our best to keep this. And finally, they took him and they just threw him over because he was guilty. Then this verse comes in. Now the Lord, behold the Lord, the goodness and the severity of the Lord. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish. People have said, well, this was a whale, this was a whatever. I can tell you, this may have been a fish unlike any other fish because God prepared one. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty scary. I don't think, children, I think of this in my mind, I don't think I would want to live any time at all in the fish's belly. And that whole scenario just doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound clean. It doesn't sound inviting. It doesn't sound like you can go over to the light switch and turn it on. It's just not a good scenario. Probably didn't smell good. You children may not like. I don't think any of us would have liked this scenario. I think it was a stark reminder to Jonah that you've done wrong. But notice the goodness of the Lord. He gave him space to repent. He gave him life in the midst of his correction. He was given time to assess what he had done. He was given time to turn his heart to the Lord and say, I'm sorry, Lord. And the Lord heard the prayer of Jonah from the fish's belly. Let's go to the second chapter now. Very next verse here in the book of Jonah. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, unto the Lord his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me, and out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heard my voice. You heard me in my trouble. Again, I want to say, behold the goodness and the severity of the Lord. I think many times the Lord in his mercy allows us to go into places in our life. God didn't ask Jonah to go the wrong way. He told him which way he should go. But Jonah took the other way. And in doing so, the Lord did not reject Jonah to the place that he was utterly destroyed. In fact, the mercy of the Lord, as well as his severity, I think I'm sorry, I didn't remember till now that I was supposed to have this on. Don't use it now. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Jonah, he had made the wrong choices, and he went this other way, and the Lord cornered him and brought him to a place that he began to think and recognize that this was absolutely wrong. And from his destitute place, as many times you and I are in life, the Lord will allow us to take our own way, make our decisions, and he tells us consequences many times. This is what's going to happen if you take this way. And a lot of times in our human bullheadedness, we'll go ahead and go down that road until we start recognizing the light switch isn't over on the side. And it doesn't smell good anymore. I don't like what I'm doing. I don't like where I've been. I've been swallowed up by this whole thing. Sin is like that. It's a horrible thing. It'll swallow people whole. And many times it'll snuff out your life. But this is the good, this is the goodness of the Lord. Not only severity, and the Lord will allow severity to come our way, but in mixed in with that, there is this goodness that if in that moment in our life, I turn around and say, Lord, I don't like what's happening, He gives space to repent. He gives space for us to turn and say, Lord, I don't know which way to go from here. Jonah could not deliver himself from that belly of the whale. But the one thing he could do is cry out to God. And I would say, I don't know exactly all that Jonah said, but I think if I was in his case, I'd have been down there and I'd have been saying, Lord, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me for my evil way that I did. I took the wrong way. I knew what you said and I went ahead and did it my way anyway. I knew what you said and I just went disregarded you. And in rebellion, I went my own way. And Lord, forgive me. I believe my life is just about over with. It doesn't smell good here. And I feel the stomach. Well, this is not a good place. I shouldn't get too graphic here. But you understand. And what I would like us to recognize, that has an application to how we live today. If we get out there in the area where the sinful things of this world envelop us, swallow us whole, we start feeling them digest our very soul. And I say, Lord, have mercy on us. That is what God intends for us to recognize. Behold His goodness now. He awakens the mind, brings us to a place that we're filled cornered, I don't know how to get out of here, and the only thing we know what to do is bow our knee or humble our heart before the Lord and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And now behold again the goodness of the Lord. Not only does He work to awaken our soul, to bring us to a place of sensibility and understanding that the path that I've taken was utterly wrong, but He doesn't leave us there. Folks, I want to tell you, if you begin to pray to the Lord and seek His face, this whole world will vomit you back out. Because you're not like them anymore. The Lord Himself calls you out. The Lord Himself makes a way of escape. The Lord Himself causes evil to reject you. The Lord Himself, and I don't want to just say that, because that's part of the process, but the greater part of the process is the fact that He hung on Calvary. And He paid the price for your sin. The greatest part of this story is that God Himself provided a lamb that takes away the sin of the world. The greatest part of this story is the time of the year that we're approaching right now, and this great gift that God has given to mankind is the Lamb of God that has taken away the sin of the world. And I believe, and I don't want to get ahead, because perhaps next Sunday there may be something, surely so, something about this scene. But the angel said, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There was a great proclamation to the world. All those who sat in darkness have seen a great light, you see. There is something that is called, God Himself calls people away from that old wicked way. Jonah recognized his wickedness. He likely went down and headed the other direction thinking, those folks are so evil and so wicked that I don't want to go down there and help them at all. I don't want to be defiled by their wickedness. I don't want to be associated with their wickedness. And he went the other direction, not realizing that he was just as wicked as what they were in his own way. He rejected God too, like they did. And the Lord cornered him and got him in the middle of this whale's belly and humbled his heart. And he prayed. And the Lord said, fish, turn him loose. And he did. Not only did it sound like he put him out there on dry land. Now I suppose that He may have not come out smelling real clean, but it didn't take long. The Lord cleaned him up. One of the actions about when the Lord delivers a man from his own sinful ways, there's some things that may leave a little bit at the beginning because he may not realize all that he came out of was necessarily sin, but the Lord continues working and they clean that man up. Or the belly of the whale, the fish's belly doesn't keep on smelling on you. You're going to smell more like heaven as we go. Thank God for that. Maybe we'll go over here to the third chapter. And the word of the Lord came again. First verse of the third chapter of Jonah. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh. Sounds a lot like the first time, doesn't it? Jonah, you still got a job. Go there to Nineveh. I think this time that when Jonah headed to Nineveh, he took that proclamation or the duty that the Lord gave him a little more serious than he did the first time. I think he went with a much more humbled heart. I think he realized that this is something God wants. And I think in my mind, I know perhaps earlier it was all just Jonah thinking this isn't right. They need to die anyway. There's a wicked city. They're evil. They don't like us Jews. They're at war. They take some of our land. They take some of our people and they destroy them. Why do I need to go and tell this story of that the Lord's going to destroy them? You know, if he really thought that the Lord would utterly destroy them, it would have been maybe joyful for Jonah to come out and tell his enemies, the Lord's going to get even with you. Oh, yeah, he will. He'll get you. See, there's something carnal in that, isn't there? For you and I to look at our earthly enemies today and say, oh, you just wait. The Lord will get you. God is not willing that any should perish. That's not the way he looks at our enemies. You know how he wants to destroy our enemies? He wants to just utterly destroy our enemies by this mechanism. Changing their heart from a wolf to a lamb. That's what God wants to do. He wants to change our enemies. And change our hearts if we're harboring a bitterness, a get evenness in my heart. The Lord wants to change our hearts because that's not like our Lord either. Lay down our carnality. Behold the goodness of the Lord to reveal to us ourselves. Behold his goodness. Also there's a severity if we bullheadedly go on in our own way and say, Lord, I still want to be angry. Jonah had still some problems. We'll find that out later. But in this idea, this recognition of for us today to behold both the goodness and the severity of the Lord, Jonah had another job to do. The Lord still said, I want them to know what I have designed against them. I want Nineveh to know that they're going to be destroyed. And I believe part of the reason perhaps Jonah was hesitant, especially the first time, to go and tell them, because us humans, isn't this our experience as we walk with the Lord? That we can look back in our life and realize there were places the Lord, if he wanted to, he could have cut us off in an instant. But he didn't. He came and reasoned with us. He said, come, let's reason together, saith the Lord. And he will correct his children. Those who want to serve the Lord will say, child, this, and our conscience bears record of him and says, and we recognize, Lord, you're right. I shouldn't be carrying this idea or this sense of Perhaps it's envy toward my brother. Perhaps it's a little bit of anger. Perhaps it's all these these ways that I can say, well, I have a right to feel offended at my brother because he did something bad to me. And perhaps he did. But it's not my right to carry away this anger and hatred and bitterness and wrath and envy. That's not what God wants you to carry away in our bosom. Don't put those rocks in our pocket. They'll weigh you down. These are weights that easily beset us, I understand. But don't put those rocks in our pocket. Throw it aside. Say, Lord, I don't want to live my life with this bitterness and anger because it's dangerous to my soul. So the Lord in His mercy reminds us. And you look back over your life and you can say, oh, there's many times that I didn't do it well. And I know that if the Lord was of a mind, He could have easily cut me off. But He didn't. He came by and said, son, don't do it that way. And I believe He did that to Jonah. And Jonah recognized that the Lord was merciful and long-suffering, and the Lord corrected those that was His children. The Lord does things for us to turn us back, not continuing down this deviant road, this exit that sometimes the devil would have us to take. And the Lord says, child, no, wrong road. Turn back. Well, Jonah took a wrong road. The Lord turned him back. And I believe that it's likely Jonah said in his mind, my Lord is a long-suffering God. And He cares for people. And if they humble their heart, He'll change His mind. He'll take away the curse and give them the blessing. And I'm glad He does. Behold the goodness and severity of the Lord. So I believe Jonah knew his God was this type of a character. He was one that was merciful to people. He wouldn't destroy people at the drop of a hat, but he would give them space to repent. And so the Lord said, Jonah, go tell them. Go tell them that judgment's right ahead for them. They're just about. They don't have many days before them. I'm going to come down and clean them off the face of this earth. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? I did it then. I can do it again. Jonah went down there and gave them that message. I know I'm over here in the third chapter. Yes, Jonah 3 and 4. Jonah cried, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days. I don't know. I suppose if I was one of those people there in Nineveh that day and heard that, it's human reasoning to say, I don't know. Is that right? Except this was a different ring to it. What's this Jew doing in our streets, crying like this? I think there was a certain conviction, a boldness that Jonah had that was abnormal. There was something as he walked through there and looked the people in their eyes and said, the Lord's going to destroy this because you're wicked. The people knew they were wicked. They knew they were. And for him to come and tell them that, I think it began to convict their very hearts. And their response was, in the fifth verse, the people of Nineveh believed God. And I'm going to shorten that verse. The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the smallest. This is what the people did. They heard and they believed and they responded by crying out to the Lord. That's what this whole nation needs to do. The world needs to do. But especially the nation we live in, and a lot of times I'm grateful that we live in the buckle of the Bible Belt, but I want to tell you there was a day not that many years ago that I was getting ready to go on a plane, and going to make a little trip, and there was a man got on the plane, and he handed me something to hang on to while he stored his coat over. And when he asked me to hold on to his cup, I heard his voice sounded like he was a foreigner. I had purpose to sit on this plane and put my head over against the side and go to sleep. It wasn't very successful. I heard his voice and I said, friend, where are you from? St. Petersburg, Russia. I said, what brings you here? He said, this was Tulsa, Oklahoma. He said, I always heard this was the Bible Belt. He said, I came here to find some Christians. He said, I'm going home disappointed. He said, I went to Walmart and there's Bibles on the shelf, but I don't find people who believe it. He told me his story. How he had been in the military, an atheist, was taught that only the weak-minded and old folks would believe in God. And he had given himself to the evil. He had been an alcoholic. Nothing met the need of his soul. And he came home from the military on leave and went to one of his older associates, knocked on his door. It was a snowy night, cold. He said, let's go out and drink. And his old friend said, I don't do that anymore. He said, I've become a Christian. And it shocked this young man to his core. He walked out with his hunger of his heart, his disappointment about himself and life and no purpose. And only thing that he wanted was another bottle that would assuage the pain for a little while. And he said he went out there. His friend had abandoned him. And he looked up into the stars at night and he said, God, if you're there. And he said, something happened. Out of the belly of the whale. When you're being eaten up, when everything goes wrong. This man cried. And he told me something happened to him that left him eternally changed. I'm not going to tell you all the story because no sense in taking that much time. But this man met the Lord and he came to America. He said, surely there's other people there know him like I do. And he told me, he said, I'm going home disappointed because I haven't found. We started sharing a story on that plane. The plane got caught in a storm and we never took off. For about 2.5 hours or so, we sat on the tarmac talking. You think the Lord doesn't order some things? I think he does. We shared openly and freely. We didn't lower our voices to a whisper. He shared what the Lord had done for him and I shared what the Lord had done for me. Since we weren't able to take off, we went deboarded. He was going to go his way and I was going to go mine. But before I left, he reached out and grabbed my hand and pulled me to him. And he said, my brother. Two grown men hugged each other in the middle of an airport and cried in each other's arms. I'm not ashamed of it. We both found the same Lord. He said, I want to come back here. I said, brother, you stay faithful to the Lord. The Lord needs people like you in St. Petersburg, Russia. The Lord may bring you here someday, and I don't know where he is. But I trust he's still doing the same thing I'm doing, serving the Lord. Folks, I want to tell you, there's a God. Behold the goodness and the severity of our Lord. He cares. Jonah from the belly's whale. Whale's belly. Hope you can understand what I'm trying to say. The people and Jonah began to cry out, and they sought for the Lord. 3 and 9 says that who can tell? The people began to pray in their humbled heart, and they began to seek for the Lord. And the 9th verse says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? The people believed. It changed them. They didn't want to be like that any longer. They sought the Lord. And the 10th verse now, and God saw their works. He saw their humbled heart. They willingly came to the Lord and humbled. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God did what? Changed his mind. Says it like this. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. He didn't destroy them. I'm not going to go much further, except to point out the mercy, the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, and his severity. The Lord himself is interested in taking people in the depths of our need, if we recognize it, and offering hope for the sinner man today. The Lord has a message of hope for the saint that is walking with the Lord, and you're struggling with feelings. The Lord has a message of hope. Don't have to keep on with that. The Lord is interested in helping all of us as we walk with him. There's a place of steadfastness, a settled place, a place of continued hope, a place of dwelling with the Lord. And I want to encourage us each one today to find that place, to walk with him, and to behold as you walk with the Lord, to behold both the goodness and the severity of the Lord. It's all done in his mercy until the day of there's a time of judgment. There's a final judgment. There's a time when the tree is cut down and it lies, and where it lies, where it lands, that's where it's going to stay. There's no choices after that. But today is a day of redemption. Pray for me. I want to serve the Lord.